from the American Academy of Neurology finds treating MS with monoclonal antibodies does not cause developmental delays during a child's first 3 years of life. MS affects women 2 to 3 times more often than men and typically develops between 20 and 40 years old.
Most of the nation are springing ahead overnight, and CBS's Deborah Rodriguez warns it's not just an issue for those on two legs.
The adjustment to daylight saving time is tough enough for humans, but imagine what it does to four-legged friends who can't understand why mealtime seems to take forever to get here. Experts say dogs are creatures of habit, and the sudden change can be unsettling. It can trigger anxiety, nervous stomachs, even accidents in the house. If you haven't eased them into the new schedule over the past week, be patient. Just like with us, it'll take a little time.
Yeah, cats aren't pleased either. Move over, Steph Curry. Caitlin Clark is better than you. NCAA star Clark has beaten Curry's record for the most three-pointers in a single Division I season. Curry made 162 successful shots in his sophomore season at Davidson, but Iowa star Clark has now made 164 shots after the team's victory over Penn State in the Big Ten Women's Basketball Tournament quarterfinals yesterday. They play Iowa today in the semifinals. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Never dating, without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder, metamorphosis, loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now? Is to take a Kringle and go away.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the punching bag or the patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the punching bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Family member who needs help.
Common imposter cons include people pretending to be affiliated with government agencies like the IRS or Social Security Administration, charity-related scams, and tech support scams. This is Nadia Ramlagan. This story was produced in association with Media in the Public Interest and funded in part by the George Gund Foundation.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Monday on Nightlight, I welcome Jeopardy Master and Green Bay's own Ben Chan. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, highs in the low 40s with a chance of rain and snow. For tonight, partly cloudy and a low near 29. Sunshine, mid-40s on your Sunday. Mid-50s on Monday with sunshine. For Tuesday, partly sunny, we push into the upper 50s.
Currently 33 degrees.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin. For all of Wisconsin. Take a trip with us across the radio network, to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Welcome to this weekend's edition of Civic Media Spotlight. Up first, we head to Matinair On Air for a conversation between Jane Matinair and Greg Bach about the current state of the country with President Joe Biden's State of the Union address occurring this past week.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair On Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff joining you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us if you want to call or text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream if you're joining us on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. It's Thursday, Greg Bach. That means Dr. Kristen Lierley will be here at 11:06 for yes. Our public cervix announcement. Among the many things we're going to be talking about today, is red wine good for you?
I don't think so.
They always said that red wine had special things in it that made it especially good for your heart.
I'm going to bet, and I'm not a doctor, that those special things you can find in red wine, you can find in other places that aren't
probably
alcohol.
Probably like vegetables.
Yeah.
Oh, fine.
Yep.
So we'll find out about that with Dr. Lierley coming up at 11:06. Then J.R. Radcliffe, the Journal Sentinel sports reporter, will join us. There's going to be a book coming out about former number 12.
Good or bad?
I'm not sure. I just... I'm looking forward to talking to JR if he had a chance to take an early look at the book about Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, boy. Who? Yeah. That
name seems familiar somehow.
The New Yorker?
Just a little. That's coming up at 11:33. We are going to start, though, with taking a little trip down memory lane because I think... I know I have a very short memory.
Yeah.
I do. And I think all of us collectively have a pretty short memory. As far as what things were like 4 years ago, say.
Almost to the day.
Almost to the day. And I bring this up because the top three most important Republican, Lee Stefanik, after Donald Trump pretty much wrapped up the nomination after Super Tuesday, Representative Stefanik made these comments on Tuesday night. So, Calvin, let's take a listen to that.
As Ronald Reagan famously asked us, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? The answer for hardworking Americans across the country is a resounding no.
Let's go back in time, shall we?
Should have gotten my TARDIS.
Let's go back in time to the first week of March in 2020.
4 years ago.
4 years ago. Donald Trump said on February 28th, going back a little further, we're ordering a lot of supplies. We're ordering a lot of elements that, frankly, we wouldn't be ordering unless it was something like this. But we're ordering a lot of different elements of medical. March 2nd, you take a solid flu vaccine. You don't think that could have an impact or much of an impact on corona? He was saying this to his top health officials, who all answered no. March 4th, Donald Trump said, and now this is just my hunch, but... based on a lot of conversations with a lot of people that do this, because a lot of people will have this, and it's very mild. March 4th, Donald Trump. If we have thousands or hundreds of thousands of people that get better just by, you know, sitting around and even going to work, some of them go to work, but they get better. March 4th. March 5th, Donald Trump. I never said people that are feeling sick should go to work. March 5th, the United States has, as of now, only 129 cases and 11 deaths. We're working very hard to keep these numbers as low as possible. March 6th, 4 years ago, you have to be calm, it'll go away. Also March 6th, Donald Trump, I like this stuff. I really get it. People are surprised that I understand it. Every one of these doctors said, how do you know so much about this? Maybe I have a natural ability. Maybe I should have done that instead of running for president.
Oh, yes, please.
March 7th, Donald Trump talking about COVID-19, 2020. No, I'm not concerned at all. During a news conference on March 9th, White House officials said the U.S. will have tested 1 million people that week. Thereafter, would complete 4 million tests per week. Unfortunately, by the end of the week, the CDC had completed 4,000 tests. On March 10th, Donald Trump about COVID-19, just stay calm. It will go away. March 11th, it goes away. It's going away. We want it to go away with very, very few deaths. March 12th, you know, you see what's going on. And so I just wanted that to stop as it pertains to the United States. And that's what we've done. We've stopped it. March 13th of 2020, 4 years ago. And I remember this like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't take responsibility at all.
Yeah.
March 13th, The Atlantic reports less than 14,000 tests have been done in the 10 weeks since the Trump administration was first notified of the virus, even though Mike Pence promised the week prior 1.5 million tests would be available by this time. I think we forget. March 19th, Donald Trump, I intended to always play it down in an interview with Bob Woodward that wasn't made public until September 9th. So Donald Trump admitted to Bob Woodward in an interview that he intentionally played down the severity of the COVID-19 virus as people were dying, as we had refrigerated trucks outside of hospitals in New York. March 24th, Donald Trump, 2020, we've never closed down the country for flu. So you say to yourself, what is this all about? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, taking a little trip down memory lane about what life was like 4 years ago under the Trump administration. Stephen from Green Bay on the line. Good morning, Stephen. Thank you for joining us.
No, James, this is what I'm going to say to you to start off my phone call. Thank you for reminding me of what I almost forgot about. With that being said, I wanted to bring something to your guys' attention that I attended last night. The Neville Public Museum in Green Bay has an LGBTQ exhibit that shows the history of the LGBTQ history here in Northeast Wisconsin. And there was a little table there with a business that actually does stuff with LGBTQ youth. And I told them about the radio station you guys have, Civic Media.
Yeah.
And I said, you might want to actually talk to them about that because they might be very interested in talking to you about that kind of stuff. And they didn't even know your radio station existed. So now there's two more people in the Northeast Wisconsin area that know that WISS and WGBW exist. So I just want to let you know that that happened last night.
Thank you for being our ambassador in the northeast part of Wisconsin, Stephen. Seriously, we really appreciate that.
Yeah.
And if you ever run into another organization that you think would be a good group for us to talk to or have on the show, have them email us at janesays, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, pretty easy, janesays@civicmedia.us. Patty actually emailed me a couple of days ago with suggestions, so we're going to be talking to the Waukesha chapter of PFLAG.
Excellent.
In the next couple of weeks. So really looking forward to that. Always looking for something in your community you would like us to spotlight.
Exactly.
Very much so. So yeah, janesays@civicmedia.us. We're taking a little trip down memory lane about what life was like 4 years ago under the Trump administration at the very beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic that was just going to disappear and go away like a miracle. Tom from LA on the line. Good morning, Tom. How you doing?
Good morning, Jane. Good morning, Greg. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. It's not the corporations, and we must get money out of politics. That's the bottom line on everything. Even this upcoming election, how much money we're going to waste on these elections is baffling. I wanted to say that if anyone out there just listens to Donald Trump, his cues are a lot of people have been saying this. So many people are saying this. He always couples what he says with these unknown people. And I wish the media would ask, who are these people? Because he has that tendency to make it where the majority becomes a minority becomes a majority just by him saying
oh, everyone agrees with me. Oh, this agrees with me. So I just want to put that out there for people to look for those cues. Also, I wanted to ask you, do you have a link or something with that, all those different things that you just read off?
Tom, we'll put a link in the show notes after the show is over. Everything usually gets posted in about an hour. So if you go to civicmedia.us, go to our website, and you should be able to find all the previous episodes. Mm-hmm. And then you click on the episode, and the links will be in there. I pulled this timeline from Lloyd Doggett, a U.S. representative who has the whole timeline, at least of 2020, because then, of course, President Biden took office. But people forget. We just forget what things were like. Dave from Waukesha texting in, putting things in perspective. This feels, thank you, Tom, by the way, for calling, as always. Putting things in perspective from Dave, this feels like a decade ago, not 4 years ago. It's not the age, it's the mileage at this point. We're all going to die about 10 years younger than we think we should have, thanks to a COVID era led by Trump. Going to quickly go pour myself a drink. Well, Dave, you're in Waukesha. Bring one by. We'll take mimosas. We're not anti-mimosa. A Bloody Mary would.
I'll take a Bloody Mary anytime.
Lots of olives.
That'd anytime.
If you ever want to join us, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. A little trip down the COVID memory lane.
Yep.
Of where we were 4 years ago.
I love when they say that question. Is your life better 4 years ago? No.
Well, it is. I can get toilet paper when I need
it. Yeah, exactly.
I don't have to worry about wiping down my groceries anymore.
I've watched Parks and Rec an embarrassing amount of times through. So
you can always join us, call or text or leave a comment on the live stream. Stay here. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. We're coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Matt Nair on Air is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday mornings from 10 till noon. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. This is the Shaw, WAUK. The Maggie Dawn Show.
How to avoid this apocalyptic nightmare? It's to vote. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that will save our democracy is our democracy. America, make your voice heard. Turn away from authoritarianism and vote this November.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Civic Media Spotlight, where we highlight segments from around the Civic Media radio network that aired this past week. We now head to Northeast Wisconsin for a segment from Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Pete talks about The Big Lebowski, which had its 26th anniversary this past week, and how certain movies and songs can transport you back in time.
That song, Rosalita, reminds me of college and partying in my dorm room. I had never heard the song. I was very familiar with Bruce Springsteen. Never had heard Rosalita. Absolutely fell in love with the song. And when I say party in my dorm room, I mean like 11 dudes drinking cheap beer.
You weren't studying, are you sure?
I studied. I saved it to the last minute. I used to do the Homer Simpson thing. I'll put the book under my pillow. Then during the night, the knowledge will seep into my head.
There you go.
Didn't really work. Here we got some text. From the 818, Bridget says, all the songs from Greece. I would imagine, I guess I'm not surprised we heard. And then she continues, Summer Nights. Yeah, the film Greece reminds me of my childhood. I was not allowed to see Greece. I lived on the northwest side of Chicago in an area called Jefferson Park. All my friends got to see Greece. I was not allowed to go see Greece. My parents forbade. I was the oldest of five, so I got screwed. They were still kind of protective. Because that's how it is in big families. They're very protective with the oldest. And then by the time there's a Mike Dugan joke, the comedian who recently passed away, Mike Dugan, says, I was the youngest of nine. So by the time I was in high school, it was pretty much no heroin in the living room. So that's what I was working with. I did eventually see Grease, though, when I was in high school. And it took me back, transported me to that time in Chicago in my neighborhood. And these soundtrack songs of my life. It was so crazy. From the 920, this is Rob in Green Bay, says, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas will always take me back to my single days before I met my wife and the good times that I had with my best friends at the time. Thank you, Rob. That's great. Yeah, it can be a movie or a song. What takes you back? What makes you nostalgic for your past? It's got to be a movie or a song. Let us know on the text line. If you don't know it by now, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. That was Rob in Green Bay. That's a good one. I still have not seen Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, Rob, all the way through. I know I got to see it. Joe texts, and this is from the 715. I really like Blister in the Sun from the film Gross Point Blank. You have to be careful how you read that. Nobody wants a blister in the sun. But when you're talking about a song, it's okay. And then Peg writes, Tura Lura Lura, the Bing Crosby version, I would assume, which is phenomenal. And then here's Paula chiming in. Conrad, your mom. Oh, Saturday morning cartoons. That works. That's a great one, Paula. That certainly takes you back. Paula, what was your favorite cartoon? If you don't mind texting back, I'm curious.
My favorite was definitely Tom and Jerry.
Yours was, what was your mom's favorite? Do you know?
That I'm not sure of, actually.
Do you have a song, Conrad, that takes you back?
I have a lot of songs, but they're more in the rap genre. So,
okay.
But it's mainly like memories that I have with my friends.
Yeah. It's great. Those are great soundtracks to your life. Paula says Scooby-Doo.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. I should have guessed that actually. I should have got that one.
The Mystery Machine.
Yeah. That's my brother's favorite. I feel like too. So
that's great. All right. Keep those texts coming. We love when you participate in the show. Love hearing from all of you. So today is the anniversary of The Big Lebowski, one of my all-time favorite films. It's a Coen Brothers movie. And I will be honest, it's a strange movie in the sense that a lot of people, the first time they saw it, didn't know what to make of it.
Definitely.
Did you see it?
I saw it for the first time, like... couple of months ago.
Kind of when we started the show, right?
Yeah.
I can't remember having this talk. Yeah. That's how I was. And I attributed it to like not knowing what to make. I had just moved to LA. It's set in LA and it's just kind of a weird with the LA characters, but I don't think it's LA. I just think it's like an acquired taste. But my writing partner at the time, Greg Liana, said he kept like imploring me, give it more time. I'm telling you, watch it again. And I did. And he was right. And I don't know what it's like if you have a writing partner. It's hard to admit when your writing partner is right. He was spot on. I love The Big Lebowski. So Jeffrey Lebowski loves bowling. If you haven't seen the film, he used to be a roadie. That's how he made his hundreds. He's always late with the rent, wears a bathrobe and drinks White Russians and gets involved in a caper. When the Coen brothers made this movie, I think it was based on the movie The Big Sleep. And they put this aging hippie in the lead role. And the caper surrounds around his rug that got stolen. And he's determined to get it back because, as he quotes in the movie, it really tied the room together. So this is Jeffrey Lebowski, who calls himself the dude, going to meet the guy they were supposed to steal the rug from, a different Lebowski. Go ahead, Conrad.
Okay, sir, you're a Lebowski, I'm a Lebowski. That's terrific. But I am very busy, as I imagine you are. What can I do for you, sir?
Well, sir, it's this rug I have. It really tied the room together.
You told Brandt on the phone, he told me. Where do I fit in?
Well, they were looking for you, these two guys.
Say it again. You told Brandt on the phone, he told me. I know what happened, yes, yes.
Oh, so you know that they were trying to piss on your rug.
Did I urinate on your rug?
You mean, did you personally come and pee on my rug?
Hello, do you speak English, sir? Parla usted inglés? I'll ask you again, did I urinate on your rug?
No, like I said, woo peed on my rug.
I just want to understand this, sir. Every time a rug is micturated upon in this fair city, I have to compensate the person?
Come on, man, I'm not trying to scam anybody here.
You're just looking for a handout like every other. Are you employed, Mr. Lebowski?
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not Mr. Lebowski. You're Mr. Lebowski. I'm the dude. So that's what you call me, you know? His dudeness or duder or, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
Are you employed, sir?
Employed?
You don't go out looking for a job dressed like that, do you? On a weekday?
Is this a... What day is this?
Well, I do work, sir. So if you don't mind...
No, I do mind. The dude minds. This will not stand, you know? This aggression will not stand, man.
That was advice he got from John Goodman, saying you have to draw a line in the sand and find out who stole your rug. We got a couple more texts here from the 855, from the 608. Rico from Rock County. Hey, Rico. More Than a Feeling by Boston takes me back to when I was 16. Yeah, that's a good one. That's like a soundtrack. That song was like written to be a soundtrack. And then from the 608, Mark from Prairie du Sac says, Three Times a Lady by the Commodores takes me back to 1978 and my college girlfriend, Brenda. That's Mark from the Sac. If you don't go by that moniker in real life, Mark, you need to. That's awesome. We'll read more of your texts when we come back. Jay Finnerty from UWGB will join us. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday evenings from 8 till 10. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. The road to the White House is running through the battleground state of Georgia today.
President Biden is campaigning in Atlanta Saturday, the second stop in his post-State of the Union campaign travel blitz through battleground states in the 2024 election.
CBS's Gabriel Ake says the former President Trump is campaigning in Rome, Georgia. President Biden has signed the Senate-passed spending bill, averting a government shutdown. Politico's Daniel Lipman says there was little appetite on either side of the aisle for a shutdown.
Usually when shutdowns happen, Republicans get blamed politically because Democrats believe in the power of government more than Republicans.
It will soon be time to spring forward. Here's CBS's Christopher Cruz.
Studies have shown that losing that hour not only makes you tired and cranky the next day, it could also harm your health. Darker mornings and more evening sun together knock your body clock out of whack.
So if you feel out of whack, now you know why. CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Bucks lose to the Lakers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks losing their second game in a row during a West Coast trip, 123-122 in favor of the Lakers. Milwaukee's Damian Lillard's last shot blocked at the buzzer.
Damian Lillard, four career game-winning buzzer beaters, second to LeBron James among active players. Lillard, who's on the low block, he'll come off a Giannis screen and get it near midcourt with 5 seconds. Lillard, step back, blocked by Dinwiddie, loose ball!
usually I would shoot that shot a little bit quicker, you know, but I felt like I had a little bit more space than I did. And I went into a step back. We just made a good play on the ball.
So the Bucks face the Clippers tomorrow afternoon at 2. College hockey, the Badgers losing game 1 in the Big Ten tournament 3-1. Game 2 tonight at the Kohl Center. Girls high school basketball finals in Green Bay. Today at the Rush Center. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the upper 20s. For tomorrow, sunshine returns and a warmer day, highs climbing to the mid-40s. And a big warm-up for Monday, even more sunshine and a high in the upper 50s. Partly sunny, breezy, and near 60 Tuesday. Right now, it's 33.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Shaw. 101.1 FM and 540 AM WAUK. And on the Civic Media app. Matinaire on Air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now? Is to take a Kringle and go away.
Matinaire on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Civic Media Spotlight. We now head to Minow and the Mayor, Northeastern Wisconsin's morning show, where Jim and John kicked off their inaugural third hour, expanding into the 8 a.m. hour every Monday through Friday with their very first veteran spotlight.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin, live from the Civic Media Studios at the City Deck Landing in Green Bay, and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Minow, along with the City of Green Bay's longest-serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Minow and the Mayor. Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive. And here are your hosts, John Minow and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, welcome back. We're in uncharted territory. We're in the 8 to 9 o'clock hour, which is brand spanking new.
Uncharted is true, but
uncharted territory. We've got a phenomenal guest coming up right now, folks. And we've got our new segment that we're going to have every week. It's called Veteran Spotlight. And I wanted to get a creme de la creme for our very first veteran we're going to talk to. This is a gentleman that you met, Jim.
I did.
Because he was here as our guest of honor for the City Stadium Run for Veterans.
Yes.
A few years back. BJ Ganna. BJ, how are you doing, my brother?
I'm doing great, buddy. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's great to have you on. Thank you so much for taking the time for us.
Absolutely. Anytime.
I'm going to just start from the very beginning. Could you give a little synopsis of your military career?
Sure. I was politely asked by Georgia Southern University not to come back after posting a 1.7 GPA.
Okay.
And
higher than mine.
In lieu of trying to get a real job or moving back home, I decided on a whim to join the United States Marine Corps. Left for Parris Island and served 4 years active duty from 96 to 2000 in the infantry and felt like I wanted to get out there and do more in the civilian world, but I really liked being a Marine, so I stayed in the reserves and moved up here to Wisconsin and served with Golf Company 2nd Battalion 24th Marines. And, you know, 9/11 changed everybody's life, but in 2004, we were activated to go to Iraq. And there is where I ended my career after an IED. I took my gunner, Ryan Catafio, from Beaver Dam and left me missing a left foot and kind of threw me into the veteran service world, you know, trying to figure out what it was like to be a wounded warrior, if you would.
Well, that's what's pretty cool, though, BJ. I mean, not that it's not cool you lost your foot, but, you were serving your country and doing it. But there are a lot of guys I know, and I'm sure you know lots of them more than I do, but, you know, some of them just kind of went home and kind of sat in the corner and maybe hit the bottle and, you know, whatever, whatever. You did just the opposite. You basically said, okay, this is a terrible thing that happened. How can I make this a positive thing? And you have helped so many veterans in your situation.
Well, thank you. I mean, it didn't come right off the bat. I did a lot of the stereotypical things when I got back, hitting the bottle, fighting and drinking and doing all that kind of stuff too much. But I did. I ended up becoming a county veteran service officer for Dane County and then moved on and worked for the Semper Fi Fund and the veteran advocacy world and stepped out and started my own thing called Sierra Delta.
What was your turning point? I mean, you started in 96, you went through it, you went back in, then that IED, you know, changed your life. And you said you kind of went into a little, I don't want to say depression, but what turned it around?
Yeah, I went into a different, you know, at the time I was working for Kraft Foods and had a company car and I got in some trouble and I ended up with charged with driving under the influence and knew that I was going to lose my job because of that. And that would have, you know, taken away all the insurance I had for my kids. I had two small kids at the time. I went through a divorce, bankruptcy, all that bad stuff. And, you know, staring down and looking at, you know, contemplating ending my life, thinking of how bad it was.
Wow.
You know, I had this old English bulldog that I knew wouldn't be able to survive without me. If I checked out, he'd end up in a shelter, most likely be killed. And so that is some of the motivation that helped me see through that depression and decide to, get back on the horse and figure this stuff out. So I wrote a bunch of letters, commanding officers, first sergeants, managers and all that stuff, people that know me. And, I got a second chance. And with that second chance, I didn't want to blow it. And, that got me thinking that maybe I was in the wrong career path. So I stopped chasing down a, business degree and switched over to psychology and eventually got a master's in social work and eventually left Kraft Foods in that corporate world and started down this path of veteran advocacy, trying to figure it out for myself and for the other veterans. Mm-hmm. And really just trying to understand how to navigate the VA, which, you know, you almost need a master's degree to understand. It was very complex. And so I wanted to dive into it. And I think I've done a pretty good job.
No, what have you?
BJ, one of the things, though, too, if I can just back up, and I deal with a lot of, you know, obviously veteran and a lot of amputees and helping with the Wounded Warrior Project and everything. But, you know, one of the things, and I mean, let's be honest, when you go into the Marines, you're an elite breed. I mean, you really truly are. I mean, everybody in the services, but they really instill that you're the most badass people on the face of the earth. And what I've dealt with some of them is when they do suffer an amputation or really severe, all of a sudden that gets sort of taken. They have to convince themselves they're still badass because that takes something away. Did you deal with that as well, with that self-esteem aspect? Yeah.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's still something that it's not something that just goes away. I mean, I try to remind people it's a journey. You know, there's days when my leg doesn't fit or it's just hurting too bad to put on. There's days where I just don't want to put the leg on, you know, but you kind of have to fight through it and find different ways to it. And, you know, I've been blessed enough to have a bunch of opportunities. You know, we had that Wounded Warrior amputee football team where we played against former NFL players. And that was great, really showcasing what we were still able to do. I've run two marathons with the prosthetic leg and I'm not a runner, even when I had two legs. And, you know, I've been able to climb mountains and dog sled and do a bunch of things. So, I mean, you have to constantly push yourself. And I think that's for a lesson for all of us. I think we all have to do that. Try to push ourselves and figure out what it is that we can do.
Tell a little bit about the project you've done with dogs.
Yeah. So Sierra Delta, I mean, Dozer, that old English bulldog, had such an impact on me and over the 20,000 veterans that I've worked with from all eras in my career. That's been the most common story, is that they really were able to connect with the dog. And what I was noticing was all the help was centered around these ADA service dogs, which less than 1% of the veterans actually need. The majority of us do not need a dog to go everywhere with us. However, the majority of us could really benefit from reestablishing that sense of team by having a well-trained dog in our life. You know, I'm always flabbergasted. I mean, the Wounded Warrior commercials remind me more of the Humane Society commercials anymore. Like, it's always, you know, woe is me or the worst part about us. And I wanted to focus more on some of the best parts about us and really focus on that with a dog. So getting that good dog training, to get to that level that they are comfortable with, whether they wanted to go shed hunting or, you know, dock diving or run agility courses. Like, why can't it be all these other things besides just a sad story? Why can't we make this a positive thing? Why couldn't we make this more of a way to get upstream and prevent a lot of the depression? You know, get to these veterans early, have them work with a professional trainer and a dog of their choice, and decide what they wanted to do. I mean, one of the things I love to do with my dog, Loki, now, Dozer has since passed, is we hit the trails, and I put him on what's called a whisk me command, and he knows he can stay in that 6-foot radius. I mean, it feels like I'm patrolling again, and I really like it. And so we have other guys and gals that do, like, triathletes, other people that just need a good dog in their life. So instead of trying to raise, you know, a lot of these ADA service dogs that are purposely bred, they say they cost $65,000 a dog. And if you add up all the different organizations and academies out there, there's only 1,000 vets a year getting help with these ADA service dogs. And every other veteran just kind of left on their own. We wanted to flip that on its head. Mm-hmm. We really wanted to focus on trying to get veterans who probably already had a dog. I mean, 68% of American households already have a dog in the house. And what we've seen when we've worked with over 3,000 vets since 2017 is 67% of the veterans that we saw already had a dog. So let's go there. Let's get some good dog training involved with them and have the veterans be a part of that training process. Instead of waiting for the dog 2 years for a pre-trained dog to be delivered to you, these men and women, what they miss is being a leader, having a mission, having a target to hit. If you look at it, the VA only services 30% of the total number of veterans in this country, right? They don't service every single veteran.
Okay.
They only service 30%. And they reward you by getting better, by getting worse, not by getting better. So you get more money, you get more benefits, the worse off you say you are. Why don't we just set up a program that if you serve this country, there's only 18 million veterans in this country, 12 million of which are 55 and older, and another 4 million of that 12 million are 75 and older. So we're one of the only populations that are shrinking. At any given time, and it's been stable for the past 20-plus years, we only have 2 million people serving, 1.2 on active duty and 800,000 in reserves. So why are we only servicing 30% of our veterans through the VA? You know, why are we making it that the veterans have to go in every day? I mean, I have to have an appointment every 7 years to prove that my leg hasn't grown back. The federal VA audited Madison recently and said that all of us were getting our prosthetics too fast. And so it took me 9 months to even get an approval to build a new leg, which is going to take about 3 to 4 months as my leg was breaking down. You know, it's a bureaucratic mess. Everything's been politicized, and that's causing a lot of the veteran suicide. I mean, I say the number one reason why the veteran suicide is so high is because of the government involvement and how we're delivering services. But secondarily, our nonprofits, like everybody with the best intentions, they always want to help those that are worse off instead of just helping the population, helping those that have served and building a community around that. You know, like if a veteran drove truck in the military, when they get back, they got to go to the back of the line and they got to go through all the classes, the same classes that everybody else has to go through, because those educational institutions know that we're fully funded. And so they want to get every bit of that college money from the VA. Like when I came back, my STARS report, everything I did in the military all went to electives. So as I'm chasing down my degree, none of that stuff I did in the military actually helped me. I still had to take all these other classes. And that's a very simple fix, in my opinion. The Department of Education at the federal level just needs to go over to the Department of Defense and validate all the courses that we get, accredit the Department of Defense, so that these education institutions can't make us take the full 4 years worth of college in order to get that degree. We'd only have to maybe take a year or something. Wow. But it doesn't work that way.
Why don't you run for office?
I was just, that was my question.
Yeah,
that's all right.
Jim always asks that, so I'm going to jump.
Good people.
Seriously.
But do they reach out to you to be on some task force or some committee?
There's a lot of people that ask me to run for office. I'm not willing to sell my soul. I mean, I think these political parties are acting more like terrorist organizations than communities that or institutions that try to provide free thought and ways to challenge each other to create the best possible union we can. I have no desire to get mixed up into that.
I'm going to ask you a favor because we have to send it to a break. We got another guest coming on. Can I get you on again this week? Because there's so much interesting material here to talk to you about. Okay. We appreciate that because this is too good to shortchange.
It is. And then it really bothers me when someone as talented as you and we have some other people in this community that need to get more involved and not necessarily the elected process, but, you know, to get appointed to a committee that.
And
really
just to
has
call
some
things
say.
The way they are.
Right,
I mean, you're just a realist. You're just like realist. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't, you know, and then there's this groupthink that goes on in government. You know, nobody wants to step out. And that happens on city councils, county boards. And you need an agent of change is what they call people like you.
I think there's too many people that worry about the next election.
Well, totally.
About keeping their job versus, yeah.
So I don't know. Just I'm going to give that a little bit of thought too. But thank you for being on here, BJ.
He's going to twist your arm, BJ, to try to get you to run for
campaign
office.
Campaign manager.
So you know.
Campaign manager.
Something. Yeah. BJ Ganim, you're an amazing human being, and thank you for what you did for our country, and thank you for what you're doing for our veterans now. And we're going to talk to you again this week, okay? Because we still have a bunch more to talk about.
Right.
You're the man.
Sounds
thank
good,
you, buddy.
Guys. All right. Appreciate
okay, brother.
It.
Thank you.
See ya. We got to set a quick break. Ace Champion will be joining us. Everybody knows Ace, talking about when you guys were co-stars of a big movie that you don't remember, right? Mino and the Mayor.
That's how big it was.
Back after this.
Mino and the Mayor is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WGBW and WISS weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
White or wheat, classic or old-fashioned, with or without sesame seeds. With so many choices, selecting the right bun for perfectly grilled burgers, hot dogs, and brats can seem overwhelming. Baked right here in the Midwest, the Bakers and Village Hearth made your choice easy. As long as you see the familiar Village Hearth logo on the package, you know you're selecting the freshest, most flavorful buns available. Village Hearth Buns, baking our best for you.
Is it Saturday night yet? Hey folks, Jimmy K here. Join me, Rocker, and Terry Barr for Max Inc. Saturday Night. It's your weekly look at the Wisconsin music scene with a lot of fun, debut music, interviews with the artist, and live in the lair. It's Max Inc. on Saturday night across the Civic Media Radio Network, Saturday night, 6 to 10 p.m., and grab the podcast at maxincradio.com. It's Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Civic Media Spotlight. We now head north for a conversation from Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, where Pat, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, and producer Greg talk about music history. And Pat has a spit take that you can see on the social media stream.
This is birthday girl, Taylor Dane. Everybody's got to confess to loving a cheesy love song. This is mine. I'll always love you. Taylor Dane is 62 years old today. And I would dare say that is my favorite love song of the 1980s. That's a 1988 hit by Taylor Dane. And so, Greg, I went and looked up, you know, greatest love songs of the 1980s.
Yeah.
They're not love songs. There's like Careless Whisper by Wham, which is like a cheating song. I Want to Know What Love Is, which is somebody who's not in love. They want to know what love is. ABBA, The Winner Takes It All, which is kind of more of a breakup song. So the 80s maybe didn't give us the best batch. Here's Whitney Houston, Saving All My Love For You. That's a good one.
Yeah.
I don't know. Lionel Richie's Hello.
The video makes it creepy.
Yes.
I mean, I always considered Dancing on the Ceiling a love song, but, you know, what do I know?
Stevie Wonder, I Just Called to Say I Love You.
Yeah.
Just kind of bubblegummy, you know? So, no, I think this is... Look at this. Dr. Lyerly is belatedly joining us and is like scrubbing the lens of her camera before joining us.
I'm having a mic issue.
Oh, I see.
Looks like she's ready to go play World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
I had to go grab my kid's mic from their, they're gamers.
Oh, gosh, that's funny. pull that thing about a half inch away from your mouth just because it's popping a bit. And then... tell us, I was just playing Taylor Dane. She's 62 today. And
so crazy.
Her I'll Always Love You, I was saying this, I think probably my favorite love song of the 80s. But the 80s, we were looking at the list, not known for its love songs. Not many of them. Endless Love by Lionel Richie, you know, and Diana Ross.
Careless
Remember
Whisper.
Remember that one? Did you just say Careless Whisper?
She did.
Yeah.
That was number one on this list I was looking at. It's not a love song. It's a cheating song.
But he's saying he'll never love again because he's messed up. He realizes what he has done.
It's done. Yeah.
But that's still...
the love is gone.
Save a prayer, Duran Duran.
See, I knew you were... Duran Duran was never going to be far away. How are you
all
doing?
The Whitney Houston songs.
Okay. All the Whitney. I like that. So, you are back from a busy few days. You were in Washington, D.C. You were someplace else before that.
Mm-hmm. I was in Florida. I'm home for 24 hours, and then I'm headed off to northern Minnesota to work for 10 days.
My goodness. All right. Well,
so busy.
It's so good. I'm so lucky. Guess who I got to hang out with on Tuesday?
Who did you hang out with on Tuesday?
Senator Tammy Baldwin, the delightful, wonderful Senator Tammy Baldwin.
Nice.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Let's see, getting back to today's history lesson, David Bowie released his ninth album on this day in 1975. Here's the title track. So yeah, the album was Young Americans. I mentioned Taylor Dane is 62. Actor Bryan Cranston is 68 today. Actor Jenna Fischer from The Office is 50. And actor Laura Prepon from That 70s Show is 44 years old today.
Do you want to know a fun story about this album?
What's that?
He wrote this album with a group called Gamble and Huff. They're producers in Philadelphia, and a young Luther Vandross is a backup singer on it. He wrote, recorded, and produced this whole record in 9 days, because that's what cocaine does.
Sadly, yes, it does. Let's see. Bloody Sunday was this day in 1965. A group of 600 civil rights marchers was brutally attacked by state and local police in Selma, Alabama on this day in 65. Well, coincidentally, we've talked a couple of times in the past couple of weeks about We Are the World because of the documentary, but let's play a little bit of it again because it actually was released as a single on this day in 1985. Mostly just to get it stuck in your head again. There's been times I've either sent or wanted to send text to Dr. Lyerly going, it's still stuck in here.
Everyone be quiet. Just let Dan Aykroyd sing.
Now Sheila E., who doesn't, and never knew the word. It was just kind of mouthing along as we went along. On this day in 1987, Licensed to Ill by the Beastie Boys topped the album chart, becoming the first rap album to top the charts. One more clip to play. This is the anniversary of the 1875 birth of the French composer Maurice Ravel, perhaps best known for this little dance number.
Nothing but bangers on Up North News.
If you are within if you're within a certain age range, who are you thinking about right now?
Bo Derek.
Bo Derek going down the beach, you know, with her braided hair and the beads and everything, and the movie 10. On either side of the age range, you're going, what? What's this? What?
Yeah, you two are old.
You've seen the pictures.
I have.
Haven't you?
Mm-mm. What pictures?
Of Bo Derek going down the beach.
Oh, yeah, the clip of Bo Derek running down the beach. Yeah, sure.
I haven't, no.
It's iconic.
It's memorable.
Then, okay.
Yes. I may have mentioned previously, this is National Cereal Day.
Yeah.
And so we've had a few people put in calls and comments. And so now, Dr. Lyerly, it's your turn. If you got to buy one box of cereal for the Lyerly kitchen, never mind what the boys want. What do you want?
I'm not really a cereal person. I'll always
Wait, this is just the segment's not working how I wanted to at all, but you go ahead and pretend
can't
to play
spell
along.
Lyerly without lie.
Did you have to say that with a mouthful of coffee?
Sorry. Oopsie doodles.
Poor Pat, as if he wasn't having enough problems right now with his voice, and now his sinuses are full of coffee.
Now he's going to spit coffee all over his iMac.
I love Cinnamon Life.
Oh my gosh,
that would
gosh,
be my like
this.
Lifetime go-to.
It is such a Greg Bach day. Both of his choices have been affirmed.
So supported right now.
I love
yes,
you, Greg.
You should.
I
love you too.
it's also National Flapjack Day, which is weird because, I mean, you're trying to encroach on cereal here. You got to pick one or the other. Mm-hmm. It is Plant Power Day, all about sustainable, healthy, vegan diets. And it's Hospitalist Day, which is a hospitalist is not a doctor. Well, no, a doctor is
a doctor.
We're going to explain the difference when I'm not short on time here, which might take place right after the news.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow is affiliated with the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. Your home for the Devil's Advocates.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Hey everybody, Todd Alba here. Noon to 2 on Monday will help you recover from daylight saving time and take a look back at the happenings from the weekend right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwaba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Linda Kenyon. The road to the White House is running through the battleground state of Georgia today, where President Biden and former President Trump are both holding rallies. Politico's Daniel Lipman says this presidential election cycle will look very different from the last one.
This 2024 presidential campaign cycle is going to be a much more traditional campaign versus the pandemic 2021. And so that's going to put a lot of pressure on Joe Biden to hit the campaign trail and to rally support in ways that he couldn't do from his basement in Wilmington last time around.
Georgia's primary is Tuesday. No government shutdown. As President Biden assigned a government funding bill, CBS's Gabriel Aik has more.
This funds some portions of the federal government through the end of September. The president's signature avoids a government shutdown for now. This is the first of two deadlines to keep the government open. The second comes in 2 weeks and is not expected to be smooth sailing. Congress will have to find common ground when it comes to spending for defense, the State Department, and Homeland Security.
This afternoon, U.S. military C-130 cargo planes took off again from Jordan and flew west to Gaza to airdrop desperately needed food aid to hundreds of thousands of Palestinians. CBS's Remy Innocencio watched from inside.